It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm just thinking, yeah. Do you know what, Sai? I'm really just contemplating giving the switch my resignation.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents, the first of two this week ahead of double game week 37. And with big defensive injury issues, they're waiting on bated breath to find out from Gary Robinson which is the best Manchester United defensive asset to buy this week. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You don't have to answer that question yet. Maybe our Newcastle United correspondent Simon Bibby can answer that question for us instead. How are you, Simon?
I'm good. I'm just here to listen to what you guys have got to say about Newcastle and Manchester United defenders. I need some advice. That's what my bench boost is going to come down to.
Well, we should probably be talking more about attacking assets from the two. But before we get onto the FPL stuff, Gary, we can't ignore Monday night's farce at Crystal Palace, which seemed like the most recent episode. Where are you at with Ten Hag now? I know you've not been a huge supporter, but I mean, would you be happy to just cut this now and have someone else do the cup final?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we should have cut him. I think when we got knocked out of that Champions League group, I think that was an obvious chance to say this clearly isn't working. There was a week as well where we got beat by City at home and Newcastle knocked out the Carabao Cup as well, and they were both 3-0 losses. That was another obvious chance to say, look, this isn't working. There's still a lot of the season left. And there was a chance there, I think. So I don't think there's any way back for him. I don't really know how I feel about the idea of sacking him before we get, 2 weeks before we get to a cup final. But I wouldn't be that disappointed if he did go. I mean, I don't know who he'd get for a 2 week boost. But yeah, I think we must be coming to the end of the road. There's been a lot of noise that the new, board team are gonna make a decision on him when they're all together, but they're not going to be, that's going to go on for ages. Ten Hag can't start next season as the manager, because if he does, if we lose one of the first two league matches, he's just going to be under pressure already, and then where are we? Just rolling into a third season. So yeah, I do think it's come to an end, but I think probably got to give him the cup final reluctantly.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, removing your personal feelings on this, with 10 being the highest probability, what is the chance of him being in charge first day of next season?
Probably 5. I don't think it's as cut and dry as it was, because there does seem to have been a lot of chat recently, like say with Berarda coming in and Wilcox and Ashworth still pending and all this stuff, that they aren't going to make a decision on a manager until they all get together and make a decision. Well, that could be weeks and months away yet. And you know, so I don't know. So I do think there is a chance that he stays, but I don't know. Probably not 50-50, probably 60-40 that he goes. I just can't see we start the next season with him, because I just think that'd be a recipe for disaster. Because he'd just be under so much pressure straight away.
So I
wouldn't have any time to breathe into the season, would he? First defeat, it'd be...
I mean, that pressure is always going to be there just as Manchester United manager anyway.
No, I know, but I think if we've got a new manager who was trying something new and a bit different football, blah, blah, you'd say, right, you know, let's, you know, give him a month or two before the knives come out. But with Ten Hag, he's built up no real back catalogue of goodwill. So, you know, if we lose the second match next season and draw the third, we'll just be back where we are now, won't we? So,
how do you see it as a neutral?
I mean, let's be honest, Ten Hag has zero charisma, and I think you need that for a job the size of Manchester United. So I feel like he's got, you know, even look at the players that he's brought in from his old clubs. Like, there's rumours that Antony, there's like him and it, they've had a spat and things like that. There's so much stuff swirling around online. I know it's Twitter and most of it's bullshit, but I just think he was a bad fit to begin with. He hasn't got the personality for it. I've obviously lived through like new ownership coming in. The change is inevitable. They want their own man. They're going to get their own man. So it's just, I think you're just delaying the inevitable if you keep going for a year. It will come down to how much budget you've got and what your transfer targets are. Maybe they decide actually for PSR reasons, we're better off sustaining it for a year and pushing it like a year down the road, potentially. Depends if they can get Dan Ashworth in the next 12 months or not. So yeah, I think he's gone. It's just a case of like when and how that fits into their strategy going forward.
Yeah, it does feel, I think Gary, even just add in, it almost feels like we're at the wasting time stage now. And that's not to say you should sack him at this minute, because I agree, probably is better off still to let him do the cup final. But it feels like if it's not this summer, it'll be in the autumn, it'll be in the winter, it'll be next season. I don't envisage a scenario here where Ten Hag staying and suddenly you're going to win the title in 2 or 3 years. Like, I just don't see that. So
me neither.
No. On Dan Ashworth, you mentioned it, Si. Thank you for bringing this up. Gary, that kind of signals a potential intent of change behind the scenes. I mean, how important is this? I mean, I assume this deal is going to happen.
Well, I think eventually it will happen, won't it? I don't know. I think it's hard to judge how important these things are, isn't it? Because I don't really think that we all know who does what. I mean, obviously, we've got Berardi, we've got Wilcox in, we've got Dave Brailsford there, we're going to have Dan Ashworth. You know, we've got all these people in, but to me, and maybe it's, I know things have moved on a lot, but they all seem to have very similar sounding jobs, especially when you heard about these people 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. It was just a sporting director, wasn't it? And now we've got that role seems to have been split even further. So yeah, maybe it's a good sign of intention that they're trying to modernise and get these people in to help run the football side of it. But as to how good any of them are, I mean, Dan Ashworth's got, you know, a lot of admirers, but when he was at Brighton, people talk about the job he did at Brighton, but Brighton have been amazing since he left, and it's all about Tony Bloom and his gambling percentages and all that. It's like, well, what did Dan Ashworth do then? And same with Newcastle. I mean, he's obviously went to Newcastle, but they'd already bought, you know, Trippier was already there. There's already a couple, you know, Joe Linton was obviously there beforehand, and was Guimaraes already there before Dan Ashworth went. So you go, who was Dan Ashworth actually? What's he been responsible for at Newcastle? And Si, you might know better, but from what I've seen, it's most of the players that have taken Newcastle to where they are were there before Ashworth was. So I find it a difficult one to judge who does what. And
it's interesting you focusing on the first teams. I don't think that's what Dan Ashworth's been brought in to do. I think it's a complete club, top to bottom, root to branch overhaul.
Then that is not what Barrera does, though. That's what, you know, what does Barrera do then?
I don't know who that person is. He's probably overpaid and underdelivered in the last few years, so you might as well just get rid of him as well.
We've just got him from Man City, haven't we? He's coming in this summer. So with Jason Wilcox and Dan Ashworth, so I don't know who all these people, what they all
you'll
do.
Have, you'll have Dan Ashworth sitting at the top, and he'll sit underneath him. I assume, I don't know what his title is. Dan Ashworth is responsible for like everyone that has their own responsibilities, essentially. Sort of his.
No, I think it's. I think Barrera will manage Ashworth, so God knows.
Anyway, you just need to pay we'll more see. Than 2 million for him. We need
something about peas in a pod, and there being too many, or too many cooks.
Tony
Bloom deserves more credit than he's got. I think he's the unspoken person in all of this. Like, he's like a lot of people have come out of Brighton and moved on, managers, some players, but backroom staff, and have got a lot of credit and gone on to get pretty lucrative jobs off the back of what he's built in terms of, you know, the culture and the structure and everything has come from him. So I just give a Brighton chairman a shout out on this pod for some reason.
Yeah, fair game. I don't know if you're employed by MSI or anything like that. You want to let us know on the side.
I just, you know, I like good club ownership, as you know, being owned by a bunch of Saudi investors.
So. I mean, I was going to say, but I'm glad that you finished that off, so. Are you bothered about this with Ashworth then, yourself? I'm going to guess you're not, by the sounds of the way you're speaking.
No, not really. I think there was a point in the season where Howe was under pressure, and it felt like, and some stories had come out, particularly I think when the Dan Ashworth stuff was starting to bubble around, that there'd been a slight disagreement on a few transfer targets. Then I don't think he was quite yielding A, like the power that he thought he was going to have, and B, I think PSR restrictions as well come into play. And then the third factor was his mate just bought a massive stake in Manchester United. So no, I think the reaction to him leaving has been a bit overblown, like a lot of people calling him a snake and stuff. But I don't know. It's, at the end of the day, he works on the business side of it. If he wants to leave, that's fine. But I do think, you know, contractually, you know, we paid and had to wait for a gardening leave. So I don't appreciate or like how Man United have gone about this, particularly with their owner being a bit of a mouthpiece and talking at like the London Marathon about other clubs and how they operate. There's a contract in place, and if they want him, you know, it's up to us. We've got the leverage. So if he goes, he goes. He goes to Manchester United. I'm not bothered. We're on our own path.
What does it signify, though, with what your club's trying to do, the fact that he is jumping to Manchester United?
Nothing. It's a bigger club. The project's bigger because I think, to be honest, they're in a worse state than we are. And that goes through like the stadium and everything else, the academy. I think that the thing you will see the Ashworth's input and on Newcastle will be the academy players coming through in the next 3 to 5 years, or the ones that we sell. And that's essentially what you need a Dan Ashworth for, is to build out the academy so that you can stay within profit and sustainability. And then hopefully one or two players come through, but the majority of them are just bought, they're like cash cows to sell on. So I think you'll see that in Newcastle in a couple of years.
Okay. Let's talk football. How do you reflect on this season now, Sire, now that we're coming towards the close?
I said at the start we'd finish fifth. I think we've been the fifth best team overall this season. I think the injuries.
My team's not dead yet, mate.
you've not had European football this year. I think we've been the fifth best team.
Is a reason fifth that ain't getting bloody Europe this year is because
you were doing lap of honours in October. Come on, we all seen clips.
That's not true. I can tell you it was September.
I said we finished fifth. You know, we're going to be there or thereabouts. No one could have predicted the injuries, like absolutely horrific for all the season, which is why I do feel, you know, if I'm ever going to feel sorry for a Manchester United fan, or just Manchester United in general, it will be now. Like, they're absolutely decimated, and we've kind of lived through that. Actually, to be honest, not even that bad at centre back is what they've got it now, just in other positions all over the pitch. Massive lessons learned on that front. I think you've already seen, like, our head of medical staff has gone on guard or paternity leave. And I don't know if that's his plants that he's got a child, but that's like a 6 month paternity leave. So I think as long as the club learns the lessons of trying to cope with two games a week, because it looks like we're going to be on that path again next season, then it's been a good season. I think if we get in any European place, and to be honest, I'm not bothered about Europa or Conference League. I don't think it makes much of a difference. It's just getting European football will hopefully lead to us keeping our star players.
Gary, there's a strong possibility here Manchester United miss out completely here, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll get in through the league. I think that'd need a minor miracle now, given our fixture list and what other people have already got. And yeah, so it comes down
you
to
say minor
foul,
miracle,
doesn't it?
Three games to go, you're level 1 points with Chelsea. You're 2 points behind Newcastle, and you play them next week.
Yeah, but we aren't going to win a league match from now to the end of the season, I don't think. So, you know, and even if we won one, you know, then we'd be relying on Chelsea. Not, I mean, Chelsea's got Forest to come, haven't they? And so there's probably at least one win for Chelsea. I can't remember their other games off the top of my head. Newcastle will be easily in Europe, like Sajra said. So I don't know if there's a spot left, apart from if we win the cup final.
Yeah, there has been some speculation again, and we're pre-recording on Wednesday again this morning. A few journalists saying that Chelsea are going to be right on the edge, whether they'll be allowed in or not, because the UEFA FFP is a little bit different to the Premier League's PSR reporting. There's a possibility they might get denied entry. That could give you a loophole back in, because West Ham in eighth aren't catching are not catching you. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Well. All right, well, if we've got a. We've got Chelsea's financial difficulties to bail us out, then we might get him. But if we're just talking pure league position and our cup final, it's very unlikely, isn't it, now?
What's more likely, qualification through the league or via the cup?
Fucking hell, what a question. You'd have to say the cup, wouldn't you? One-off game, you know, and try and beat City out. I can't see us, like I say, I can't see us accumulating the points in the league versus what Chelsea and Newcastle will get. So probably take a one-off game against City, wouldn't you?
And I presume from your perspective, Si, you feel like you're a certainty to at least hit European football here, despite, in theory, you're only being 2 points clear of being outside it, right? It feels a shoo-in that you'll get one of the spots.
I think so. Nothing's a certainty, and I've mentioned a couple of times, I think one game a week Newcastle, we can beat anyone in the league. But when you start throwing in two games a week, as you've seen all season, even recently when we had to play two games, you start to see, like, we start games slowly, usually pick up an injury or two a game. So there's always that. And I think you've got to think about the last three games of the season, particularly from an FPL point of view, is like we are playing essentially like three games in a week. So it's not a certainty by any stretch. And I did see one thing at the United Palace game at the end when they were clapping to the fans and like staring at them and stuff, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if we could get Gary's take on that. It felt like if there was ever going to be a reaction from a game, even if they don't have the players to do it, it might be the next home game. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting the way that they all stood on the pitch and didn't just walk off and start fighting.
Yeah. Maybe, but we've been through this before with that. You know, we've had these battles before and not necessarily responded. Have we? We've got, like I said earlier, we got beat 3-0 in the derby, and then you came in the cup and knocked out the cup 3-0. You know, we've done this before this season, so.
Well, Sam's got a point, though, what you're saying about the end of the game, though, isn't he? Because there's United players historically, Gary, who have been accused of just walking down the tunnel. The whole team stood there in front of the fans, having just got beat 4-0 at Palace. And there was a reciprocation of applauding each other, right?
No, I get that. But that's only the real proof is what you do in the next match, isn't it? We've been through this before with apologies and on the pitch, social media. We've been through this before with this group of players. They can respond, but they're equally as likely that one bad defeat becomes two and three in a row, like we've seen in the autumn time when we got battered to bits in the Champions League, the Derby, Newcastle. You know, with last season, we've had it. They're as likely to not respond as they are to respond, and I would probably say they're more likely not to respond just because of not because of lack of effort. I don't think there is a lack of effort there. I just don't think they've got the ability and the. And the players, they haven't got enough bodies in there. And obviously, the injury situation might improve by Sunday. But I'd be very... I mean, I think there will be our response, but whether that actually turns into a result is a different thing, isn't it?
I just need to know if you're going to score, Gary. I've got two Arsenal defenders on my bench boost, potentially. That's all I care about.
You'd think if Fernandes can come back in, you would think we've got a chance. I mean, but Arsenal are superb at the back, aren't they? I think it depends. I mean, if Fernandes doesn't play, can you really see any of the... You can't really see a midfield of Mount, Eriksen, They're not going to trouble
That is a
Arsenal
sorry
midfield,
state,
are
isn't
they?
it? And listen, Arsenal have been the best team defensively. That's a sorry state. You going into a home game, going, don't know if I can see a scoring.
Well, I mean, if there's no Fernandes, there's no Rashford, there's no real midfield.
So are
That's
these
it.
injuries a mitigating then? Because we've spoken about Newcastle a lot this year. We've spoken about my team. We've spoken about other teams. It doesn't feel like with your team, Gary, we don't go, bloody hell, what you got? Your first choice centre backs all missing. You said off camera before we started, there was speculation Johnny Evans even failed a fitness test Monday, but was still asked to
That's
play.
what they're saying. I don't know how true it is, but that's the rumor. And I mean, Johnny Evans, he came to the club last summer to do his coaching badges, and they decided to play him in centre half for 15 matches or whatever it is this season. So that just sort of sums up where they've been injury wise this season. But I suppose it's like any of these top clubs, is you're not going to get that much sympathy for injuries, are you, unfortunately, because the idea is that you should have a big enough squad and a good enough squad to cover
Yeah,
for it.
but I
But
mean, some
I think
clubs won't
these
even
in
have four centre backs, Gary, and you've got five injured.
No, I know, yeah, I get that. It's just it's never going to be used as an excuse, is it, when you're a City or a United or a Liverpool or a whoever. It might just be mentioned in passing, really. But it's no doubt the injuries have cost us this season, especially defensively. No Luke Shaw at left back. Varane and Martinez missing long parts of the season. Casemiro has not been injured, but he looks finished, doesn't he, unfortunately. So, it's no doubt it's impacted us, but equally, I can't get worked up that people don't make excuses for it, because that's the nature of playing at these big clubs, isn't it?
Well, so I wonder now if there's any chance you're scoring at the weekend. I mean, have I got any chance you're doing anything on Sunday against that lot, mate? Come on, give me something.
No, oh, I mean, obviously you're desperate for Arsenal not to win it. I'm desperate for them to win it. So, no, look, let's see. If we find out that five or six of them are back, but I mean, even if they're back, what kind of state are they going to be in? I'd be very surprised if Arsenal didn't win on Sunday. And I think the only question is by how many and what kind of state United can get in, because the Arsenal team's, I mean, it's superb to watch, aren't they? I think defensively great, attacking wise has been great this season. I mean, it must be the best team they've had.
James's
Well,
face. I'm
I know,
just
yeah.
thinking, do you know what, Si? I'm really just contemplating giving Such my resignation and just Adam Pritchard's not even here. Like, Jesus,
No, but yeah, I think I'd say that they must be the best Arsenal team since the last six matches in their invincible season. So,
I think I
not a
just
lot more
got
to be
memes,
said.
Si, quite possibly. Yeah. You ever feel like, Si, you've been out, you've asked someone a question, you wish like you hadn't fucking asked it. Jesus.
Oh my God,
Yeah.
I need to watch that
I got it, Carrie. They're a little bit better than you.
back.
Okay. All right. Cool. Oh God. Right. There's been a lot of talk of Tottenham fans wanting Tottenham to lose next Tuesday against City. Is that the same for United fans on Sunday then?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose I don't know, is the honest
It's
answer.
not as
Probably
strong, is
not.
it?
No, because I think if it had been Liverpool still in the title race, it might have been different. But I think City is slightly different for 115 different reasons why they're different to Liverpool and why the rivalry is different. So, yeah. If City win, so what? It's one of them, isn't it? But I personally would like Arsenal to win it.
At size, you was busy pissing yourself laughing. Can you see Manchester United getting anything against Arsenal on Sunday?
No, I think honestly,
Well, you
since
answered
you've
your own bloody question now, didn't
well, no, I think they can score. That's not all I care about is whether
you?
they can score in the 89th minute and wipe out my two clean sheets. I was tempted to maybe shift the bench boost to 38, even taking on the potential issues around rotation stuff. But I don't know, after watching that Man U team against Palace and having seen what Arsenal have done to pretty good teams recently, they just strangle games. I just, Probably Maine is a pretty decent player, but I mean, he's not going to be able to do anything against that midfield. You might as well play him at centre back, actually. I haven't seen how bad Casemiro was. Like,
okay, but say this, and I realise Liverpool are a bit more, let's say, gung ho than Arsenal and not as defensively solid. But you give them two proper football matches, Gary, and I realise again that the lineup you were able to pick was a bit stronger than probably what you'll have on Sunday. But that tells us something, doesn't it?
Well. Yeah, but I think we gave them good matches because Liverpool let us off the hook, though. They absolutely slapped us in both of them, really. And United did well to stay in it and make it, turn it into a bit of a, well, one of them was a cup tie, but even the 2-2, you know, they turned it into an end-to-end bit of a mess of a match, really. But I think Liverpool will be disappointed in both of them that they didn't win it the way the matches went and the chances that they didn't take. And I haven't really seen that from Arsenal this season. Even when they've been bad or struggling, they've always been in control, haven't they? They don't tend to have these mad end-to-end shootouts. It could happen. If United can get the crowd behind them and Fernandes is back and winding everyone up, you could see it, but...
In my opinion, that's not how you beat Arsenal end-to-end shootouts. You have to cause chaos. And like, if you look at the Newcastle game where we beat them with that slightly... fortuitous, some would say, goal. You cause chaos against them, get them unsettled, but you don't. It's not end-to-end shootout. That's not how you beat Arsenal. So I think Old Trafford can create that atmosphere. I've seen it, and it's just whether and you've got like some ludicrous players that like might be able to that might thrive in that. Unless you've got a couple players back, you need Bruno back. You're going to concede at least a couple. No Maguire, maybe don't score from a corner. So I'm talking myself into the bench boost and two Arsenal players, but I think that's, you know, we've shown that's how you can do it. Tottenham, to a certain extent, in the last third of the game, kind of did something worth of note.
Game state, you were there, though, wasn't it? They were 3-0 up, even I can say that.
Yeah, but you did get them nervous, and it wasn't because it was all that attacking. It was, I think, just that causing that kind of chaos in that atmosphere in grounds. I think there's still like a little bit, and it's fading away, but there's still like a little bit of a soft underbelly there that I think you can scratch at. But like with every passing year, it seems like they're kind of moving away from that identity into something that, you know, might win them the league.
I think you're right, Gary, that they don't get involved in chaotic games. I don't think they'll be looking for one with yourselves. I think they'll be looking to slow the game, keep the ball and know that they can pick you off, basically.
Yeah,
that's how I'd foresee it. What do we know, Gary, about Fernandes as it stands? Again, we're pre-recording this Wednesday afternoon. I mean, I know, obviously, you was on our Slack over the weekend, and I think my opinion was very much the same as yours. Well, he always plays, you know, I'll believe it when he's not in the team. Then Monday afternoon, it became pretty apparent he genuinely wasn't going to play. And even still, I think you and I were both doubting it, you know, because he always plays. So what do we know?
Well, not a lot at the minute. I mean... It's obviously an ankle injury that's kept him out, but how bad it is, we don't know. And like I said, because he always plays, it kind of makes him if he couldn't have been that close to fitness on Monday, otherwise he would have played through it. So look, we don't know, do we? But given that he's missed one, I think it might be quite likely that he misses at least a second. And especially like we just said, with the cup final coming up and maybe not nothing to play for in the league, but I think as of today, I think you'd have to say it's probably more likely than not that he misses out. But
Ten Hag said earlier in the season, he said that he played when he was injured. He said that very, very clearly. He said Fernandes has played on occasion when he has been injured, not even like carrying an injury, just saying he's played when he's injured, basically.
Yeah,
so that calls alarm. I just wonder if. Off the back of the way the league season's gone, with Champions League is obviously clearly off the table, and you get into the cup final and then being the Euros obviously in the summer as well, if he might have said himself, I need to calm down here for a couple of weeks, because the one thing you couldn't label at him is commitment, right? He's always there, and that's what's caused alarm.
That's the first time he's missed out for United through injury. He's been there
his entire career. Professional career,
That's crazy.
There you are, so,
Do you own him, Gary?
Is it?
Do you own him?
I don't.
I do, but I'm not bench boosting, so it's not so relevant for me. I'm not bothered. Si, if he was ruled out, you're going in for what, Mason Mount, are you? Or Garnacho?
Casemiro. I mean, for the fans.
Garnacho's not a terrible shot, is it, Gary?
No, definitely not, especially not at his price, because it might allow you to do any transfers you want to make. Yeah, it might allow you to do something else as well.
Would that be the only United player to consider to replace Bruno?
But yeah, there's no one else available. Well,
someone
no
did ask me about Anthony the other day, and I wasn't sure if it was a wind-up or not.
Well, it must have been a wind-up, yeah. I mean, he's dreadful, isn't he? And he's certainly not an FPL asset, even when he's on form. So
he's got a whole one goal this season, Gary.
In the
celebrated
league,
like he meant it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so no, he's not on that. He's, even if you're having the wildest punt you could think of, it's, not time for him.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so essentially investment in United offensively is no go here. What about Hoyland? How's he playing?
It's difficult with Hoyland because I don't think we create chances for him, but then equally, I don't know if he does enough to help himself either. And you know, I think Fernandez has created the most chances in the top five leagues in Europe, so he must be creating them for someone, but Hoyland's not getting them. So, yeah. Yeah, and in terms of this weekend, even though it's a double, I think there's just too many better options in that forward role. Obviously, everyone's going to have Haaland probably. Isak would be a must. And then you've got Jackson, even Pedro, save a load of money, couldn't you? I just think there's too many other options up front to consider Hoyland.
There's one name Gary hasn't mentioned there. It's Callum Wilson.
Rumours are he might be injured. He might have.
I've heard that rumour as well. And again, to reiterate, we're pre-recording this on Wednesday afternoon, but I've heard that rumour as well.
Yeah. So let's assume he's fit. I guess you were wondering what the impact is on Isak or just generally Wilson as a pick.
Well, I think based on what we saw at the weekend, there's a case to go with both, isn't there?
Yeah. I think if you've got Haaland, Isak, Jackson, like a lot of people have, you're not touching that this week. So there's got to be other opportunities to improve your team or your squad beyond that. If you're looking for a punt, I have seen a few Geordie fans that have done it. I think if you were going to ask me if he was fit, how the minutes would go, I don't think he'd start against Brighton. What you saw against Burnley was Eddie Howe, one game a week, Eddie, making up a nice game plan for a particular team. And I think that goes for the fullbacks as well, and some of the stuff that they were doing in the game was very interesting. I don't think you can really replicate that against Brighton. I don't think you'll replicate it against Man U. I think he like potentially could go with the two against Man U, like based on who you've got in defence and just like literally go for the throw. Decent punt, always with a chance. I still think Isak, if Haaland hadn't scored four goals, I'd be very confident Isak was still on pens. If he had a sniff of the golden boot, but now less so. But it was interesting, I think, seeing them play together in a two, which is not kind of previously how they've been utilised. It's more Isak.
Can you elaborate again? It's only a rumour that's gone round. Can you elaborate on what you're saying? Because I said this as well, that I wasn't sure both would play against Brighton and that it would be different to what we'd seen in Burnley and even cameo appearances recently. Can you elaborate why is that? Is that because of Brighton? Or is it a little bit more what you said about, oh, there's another game in midweek?
No, I think it's more opposition. I think Eddie will pretty much just run out like he always does. Like he did all season, even when we were going through, like you could tell players just were absolutely gassed. He was still running them out. I think it's more a formation thing. We know how to beat Brighton. We know how they like to play. I think we'll just kind of, I mean, you could argue, the thing is, if he does the 4-2-4 again, yeah, we'd just be too exposed. They would just pass through us. It just wouldn't work. I think we'll go back to 4-3-3.
But you could also overwhelm them, right?
I don't think Brighton's the game for it. And I think Joe Linton will start, and I think he'll play Joe Linton, Bruno, and Longstaff in there. I think he knows how to beat Brighton now, and I think he'll kind of go back to what's worked before.
Okay. What does that look like as a front three then? Isak, Gordon, and
Murphy
over Barnes at 100%. The moment?
Yeah. We're winning. He's contributing. He's played well the last couple of games. He'll be the first to come off if he's having a stinker, but that's the front three, which is a shame. I was really on wildcard. I was really keen to go on the Barnes experiment and go triple attack. It just became quite obvious. Like it's not the time for it. Maybe next season. I think it'll mean his price is good for next year. He might be an option.
On Murphy, if people are for some reason looking for an enabling midfielder and are stuck on something really cheap and need something for a bench boost, could that be a consideration then?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be at the back that everyone's got his injuries in midfield. But yeah, you could. I think he'll play Brighton. I think he'll probably start Man U. There's always the Miggy thing. I think maybe Man U, that might be a Miggy game, potentially, just in terms of the harassing and the pressing if we do go with three up top. And then I could see him potentially coming back in for Brentford away as well. So I think you'd get two starts and decent minutes. I don't know if he'll play 90 in it. I think we've got too many options now for him to play 90. But you'll get decent minutes for a bit of bench fodder. Or if you just like you're not playing the bench boost and you want to play three up top and you want to release some funds, you could do worse.
Would you buy him or Garnacho if you were pressed into one? Murphy's 4.8, Garnacho 5.
Garnacho, because I would want three other Newcastle players above Murphy.
That's good answer.
Way around your question.
Probably. Yeah, good call, because I think Murphy, good player, but I think you're using a Newcastle spot that you might want elsewhere, whereas Garnacho's comfortably in the top three United picks this weekend.
Okay, fine. Hey, Si, is there any chance that Isak moves wide here to accommodate Wilson under this? And if you're saying it's not going to be the two up front, could we get Isak wide and Wilson as a nine?
No. I think the way
he answered was like no, but thinking about it, I don't know.
No, that was more of an arrogant no, to be honest. No, I don't think so. I think Gordon's going to play every minute he can for the rest of the season. I think Isak naturally drifts out there, but you're more likely to see him play behind Wilson if there are two. It depends. Like we change formations like so frequently throughout a game, depending on where the ball is and like pressing goalkeepers and fullbacks and centre backs or whoever United have managed to roll out back there. Like I think it could happen in that game, but again, to be honest, wouldn't be surprised if Wilson's injured and this becomes a moot point. In which case, Isak is. As a road captain shout becomes very tasty.
That's what I was going to say. If Wilson was ruled out, does that make Isak the potential one if you want to go against Haaland this week?
I'm doing it anyway. I'm going to run in nice green arrows, but I'm going to comfortably have my worst ever FPL season. So I'm going Isak captain.
If Wilson's fit, are you put off that though?
I mean, I think it definitely denses goal or XG, but I think it probably potentially helps as XA. So, and with the, there's one point in it. So swings and roundabouts, as I said, I think there's a case for Wilson. And I don't think it helped Wilson picking the ball up. And obviously once the penalty, and he is like alpha dog. And it did seem to affect Isak a bit. I think he wasn't deferential to Wilson, but he just didn't quite look like, you know, the responsibility on his shoulders like he's had in previous games and looks so good doing it. It was almost kind of like, well, you know, if it's not me, it's going to be him. And I think that did affect. I wasn't confident when he took the penalty, But having said that,
the first one he's missed, though.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting.
His languid technique.
It's not quite a start step. He's got such a long stride that the time it takes for him to like connect with the football, if you study it, it's like there must be like an extra quarter of a second in there, which means he can just delay enough without stuttering to see where the keeper's going to go. And he just didn't look when he picked the ball up. The weather was shit. You've been to Burnley. You know what the weather's like there. It just
never.
He just didn't look like he. I was watching him and I was like, smash it. Please just smash it. And he didn't. Every chance Wilson would potentially get another pen. Sorry, if we did get another pen, every chance Wilson might take it. It's not enough to put me off. I think he's the two fixtures. You know, you can. I mean, I might still buy a Brighton defender this week, but. I think the two fixtures, particularly the Man United one away, got home game, Haaland's two away. I'm going to take it on.
Okay. No, that's reasonable, I think, mate. Are you non-FPL? Are you concerned about some of the Isak rumours going around?
That he signed a new contract with no release clause in it? I'm not worried about Isak at all. He's not getting anywhere.
Okay.
Bruno, cool. He clipped that as well. You clipped that on the last pod.
So you think Gimmerich could still go?
Potentially. I think all these Arsenal rumours are quite hilarious. Like, you see all these ITKs coming out saying something like charging £5 for patrons to tell you that apparently we're happy to accept less than, like, the asking price. I think we'll do business around the fringes.
Why would you be happy to accept less than your asking price?
Don't know. Apparently you can pay £5 for Team Ticks and Talks or whatever they're called, and they'll tell you on the Patreon that he's going to Arsenal. I think we'll do enough business around the fringes to slash sell players to Saudi, that we will get through this kind of squeaky bum time for June. And then I think, you know, if we get European football, I think there's a good chance they both stay. I think if Bruno goes, it will be abroad. PSG, like, potentially, they look like they're going to need a rebuild soon. It's obviously been
they to, always need to a France rebuild. Before.
Always. So potentially, like, would be very sad to see Bruno go. He's obviously he's one really in terms of his personality. But I think I'm quietly confident we'll keep both.
Okay, fair enough. Gary, how many Newcastle on board for you in FPL?
Just one, just Isak at the minute. But
where's Anthony Gordon?
Oh, sorry, I've got Anthony Gordon as well. Sorry, so now I've got two. I've got two. Yeah, but that's definitely it. Possibly.
He scored so many points for you in the last couple of weeks. How did you forget you had Anthony Gordon? They basically both got 20 plus points every week.
I know, so obviously try and add a defender maybe, just to fill my bench boost up, because I've got a couple of single defenders on there, so, but I don't know which defender.
I have seen a couple of teams, it's not many, admittedly. I have seen a few teams without Gordon and have got Fernandes. Gordon's probably the best buy under that circumstance, isn't he, Si? If Bruno Fernandes was ruled out and you didn't own Gordon.
I think it depends what you need for 38, to be honest.
Yeah, fair.
A lot of people are, me included, are probably going to bench him away. You know, if you're bench boosting, you've got eight attackers and he kind of feels like, possibly with Jackson's form, the eighth option. So if you need him for 38... it really depends, like, how many, like, where you're tripled up. Like, I think you start at the top and you work your way down. Like, if you've got three Man City, I mean, Chelsea, maybe not with their two away fixtures, but that 38 fixture is good. And then it's us. And then it's just like fill your boots or whatever you can with whoever's left, like single game week players included. Like Arsenal, I'd probably put above Man United.
Can you put your finger on this disparity between Gordon's home and away returns? What's in this?
Good question. I'd be interested to know, like, penalty wise, how many of those have been won at home compared to away. Obviously, did win one last week.
Six penalties, isn't he, this season, I think?
Yeah. From memory, I probably made like four home, two away, possibly. I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on. It's definitely something he's aware of. He's talked about it in interviews. And, like, knowing the player that he is, I don't expect that to continue next season. I reckon he'll rectify that. I think it's just like player learning, and then with better players around him as well. And the other thing is, like, I don't think he's had like a decent left back to help him out all season. He's been playing in front of Dan Burn like most of that time. Now, I think the way that we play, you can you can kind of get away with that. But I think away from home, you do need, you know, you need support from your fullback to kind of create more opportunities.
It's interesting, though. You've mentioned about benching him in 38 away to Brentford, and I understand that. You wouldn't have considered it for a second if he was at home to Brentford, would you?
No,
that's interesting. Gary, quick one to you then. If Fernandes is fit for 38, would you bench Fernandes at Brighton or Gordon at Brentford?
I'd probably bench Fernandes because I know Brighton have had a struggle this season because of their European run, but I think they're a lot better team than Brentford. I think last home game for Brighton and things like that. And obviously, we've got a cup final a week after, so I think you'd probably take your chance on Gordon. But I don't think there's probably a lot in it.
Yeah, I'd arguably agree with that. It's Fernandes on pens, though, would be a... Mm. I mean, you could pick something up any game, won't he? Are you looking at a Newcastle defensive this week then, Gary?
Yeah, I think so. I can't really think where else to go. I've already got Triple City and Chelsea. I can't get another Chelsea. So it's not. Don't want a United. Don't want a. I've already got Porro. So probably, maybe a Livramento or a Lewis Dunk, isn't it? There's not a lot there, is the defensively for double game weekers anyway.
Go on, site. Tell Gary which Newcastle defender he should go for.
Well, it's interesting. I think if you had a choice and money wasn't an issue, probably just Dan Burn, to be honest, safest one. He likes scoring against his former team, so there's a chance he might pop up with something against Brighton. He's playing really well at centre-back. We've got enough fit full-backs in that are playing well with not enough centre-backs that he's going to play left-sided centre-back, which is his best position. So given the choice, Dan Burn. I'm in an interesting situation where I've got Shah, so he needs to go. I've got Maguire, he needs to go, and I wouldn't want a Man U defender anyway. There's a good chance I'd probably try to get rid of him anyway if I could. I've got Bruno as well. And then money-wise, it's basically going to come down to Trippier. If there's signals that he's going to start, I think Trippier gets Brighton. Well, I think he'll play Man U anyway, to be honest. What I think will happen is he'll be on the bench for Brighton, start Man U, and then depending on what we need, if we need anything for the final game, he'll probably play that one as well. But it's a calf injury, so that's kind of load management based. So it's a tricky one. Burn's going to play all the time. Kraft's going to play every game, unless he gets like picks up something, which wouldn't surprise me. But he's a shit shout. He's not going to do anything at corners. He tends to, like, because he's got a little bit of recovery pace, tends to be him and Livramento are the ones that sort of stay back on corners. He's not a good punt, but he's going to play and he'll get all the minutes. Livramento and Hall's really interesting. Tino was doing some funky stuff against Burnley. He was kind of popping up. So they were both like almost like inverted, but you had Hall was kind of moving into midfield and he had a beautiful game, like progressive passes and everything else. Tino was actually... I went back and watched it. He was sort of popping up into like a right-sided 10, which was really interesting because Murphy is so shit on the ball that he needs to like, he's like a racing horse. He needs to just like see the target and he can hit it, but he can't move inside. Whereas Tino is doing that and his ball retention is really good. Like he's such a good footballer. I always saw him as someone that just bombs down the wing, but actually the thing is, he's not going to do that in the remaining games. It's really interesting for next season. I think what will happen is, Tino and Hall will start against Brighton. Tino will come off for half an hour. Trips will come on. Trips and Tino will start Man U. And then one of them will come off, depending on what the game state is. And then last game of the season, depending on what we need, it will either be Trippier and Tino, or Trippier or Hall and Tino. Basically, I think, actually, I've talked myself into this. Sorry, it's a long way around saying I think Tino is going to play enough minutes to justify, but don't expect him to really do
it. Is there, and we haven't seen it, is there any chance that Livramento could play centre-back?
God.
Lewis Hall, I would assume, would be a definite no. I mean, Kevin Trippier has done right-sided centre-back in a three, but not in a back four. I'm just wondering if it was something that would be a possibility that would allow Livramento, Burn, Trippier and Hall all to play. Because Kraft, with respect, is just a stand-in, isn't he?
Yeah, but if you're going to play three at the back, Kraft is a better right-sided centre-back in the three than he is a centre-back in the two. Like, that's... I was going to say, he's not pacing up his... Yeah, so I don't know. I wouldn't see... And it's going to take another injury for him. And I just don't think... Well, yeah, it depends who you're playing against. Like, not against Hoyland.
All right, let me put a different question then. Mm-hmm. A different way then. Dan Byrne gets injured on Saturday.
No chance. He's absolute warrior.
Okay. More clipping. Because that wouldn't be like everyone's luck, would it? Shah to Byrne and then another injury. That wouldn't be just FPL, would it? Who would you think would play centre-back at Manchester United under that circumstance?
Alex Murphy. He's got a few reserve. Like, he came off the bench and he gave away a penalty the other game.
Is he also like a racehorse or not? Or...
No, he's kind of left-sided, sort of centre-back, left-back. Probably not going to be good enough, but... Like, you never know. He's still very young, but he's probably like next in line. I think if we did get another injury, he would probably go to five back and just find a way to like fudge it. Oh my god, I can't.
Okay, that's nightmare.
It would be like we are similar to Manu of just experience. We are like one injury away from it being bad. But Pope coming back, I think, is big as well. That's going to put a bit more faith in me, and I need to find two defenders from somewhere. It's not going to be a Manchester United replacement for Maguire, so it's probably going to be that combination of Newcastle, and I'll probably just stick a Brighton defender in there, to be honest. And
come back to Pope in a second. Gary, hearing all that, which one are you going to buy then?
I'm still set to buy Livramento. Burns, obviously, the Like Sarah says, the safe pick, but I don't know. I think for a bench boost, where you want that chance that it's a bit spicier. So yeah, probably Livramento, but see how we go.
The other way of looking at that is you want the security as part of the bench boost, and Burn is going to get you 180 minutes, isn't he?
If you can afford Burn, do Burn. You can afford it.
All played very well
in the last game, and it wouldn't surprise me. The thing with Eddie Howe is he has a very kind of clear hierarchy of players he wants to pick, which is why I would put Livramento above Hall to play left back, because he will go like player to player. But Hall has played, and he's played 90 in the last two games. Previously, he was getting ripped off at like 55, 60. And I think he's learned how expects from him. And I think that's kind of, I think next season he is, particularly if we just sign like rumors are we're going to sign like a left back free transfer and not spend any more money there. I think like Lewis Hall next season could be a sneaky one if he has a good preseason. That's the only thing with Livramento, is it's not about him; it's just about actually how well Hall's playing. But I would put it, get Dan Byrne if you can. If you're a pussy like me, maybe I'll just go for Kraft. If not, Tino, and then Hall. I think is just too much of a risk.
Okay, interesting. I kind of agree with your analysis, Gary. Livramento, spicy wise, feels like a better pickup, but I don't know if it's just overthink when side saying Burn's the best choice.
He's not spicy. He's unlikely to get anything like attacking wise. Very good player. If he ended up
against Burnley, and I know you said that probably wouldn't happen again, then it is spicy, isn't it?
It is very spicy. If he keeps doing that. I think you need the combination of Hall and him. So it all comes down to Trippier, to be honest. It impacts everyone in the team, except for, I think, the centre-backs, which is why, potentially, if you can afford it or you want to go the safe route, go centre.
Trippier, would it need Eddie Howe to basically say on Friday Trippier's going to start tomorrow? Is that what it would need? I mean, would we even be able to trust that anyway? Or
God, you're not going to get it. That's the thing. And no, we're not the early game, and Newcastle... leakers are horrendously bad.
Yes, like, we've covered this
like historically bad at ITKs. You're just not going to get it. The only thing that you're going to get is the admin puts up photos, but you know, I don't think you're going to get that for deadline either. Like last game of the season, you'll get it. You'll get the Trippier star boy picture of him coming off the coach before deadline, and that basically means he's starting. Pretty much, but you're
wasn't
not
he like
this
pictured
weekend.
On the pitch before you played West Ham in like game week 30? the official account was like 20 minutes before the team drop. Oh, Trippier's on the pitch. Look who's here. And it, like a month later, he still hasn't played.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah. So, my theory might just be absolutely shit. And
I mean, no wonder your ITKs are shit when your official account is like taking the piss on the way
in. You don't know though. You might have been in line to play and got pulled at the last minute. Howe's definitely done a bit of that. You're injured, but you're playing. And there was a mentality. I talked about it previously in the squad of, you know, running through walls. And you've seen it with like Sean Longstaff still doing it to a certain extent, and it's impacted a lot of their form. But I don't know, man. I think I think Trippier is just too big of a risk. It's just too big.
Yeah, agreed. Unfortunately, now Gary Sykes said to me off camera, he said, "Don't say it publicly because I'm a bit embarrassed, but I do want to buy a Manchester United defender this week. So can you tell him which one?" So I didn't really say that.
Yeah. None, there's none of them you can consider as there. If you've got one, then you're probably stuck, I would say, unless you've got nothing else to do. But
would you consider like a -4s to Binham? I've seen that talked about this week. I've seen people deliberating like a -4, like Dalot to like an Arsenal defender and stuff. That's OTT, isn't it?
I think so, yeah, because as good as Arsenal are, if they concede, then you're -4s, you've cost yourself, haven't you? So, especially if it's Dalot as well, you're definitely getting 4 appearance points. Now, obviously, they might get eaten into with how many goals they concede, but I wouldn't take a hit to bin one. I don't think I would. If you use your free transfer and you've got no other problems, then yeah, shift it about. But
would you buy Dalot or Dunk this week if someone was asking Dunk. You?
Dunk.
What about if it was something like Dalot or Romero?
I'd buy Romero because I think you've got one. I think that Burnley game could make it worth it no matter what the City game is. And Romero can score a goal as well, can't he?
Whereas you're saying your two home games just cannot see it, basically.
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
And Dalot doesn't get many attacking returns either.
So here's me, Gary. So I'm going into this week, and again, I'm not bench boosting, right? I've got Onana and I've got... Yeah. Fernandes, and as I said on the main pod on Tuesday, I'm thinking about doing Cher, who's obviously injured, to maybe even something just really cheap to open up money for me in 38 is quite a unique scenario. But rather than doing that, should I be looking at just moving Onana here to like a better goalkeeper? And admittedly, I'm limited where I can go. But would you consider something like Onana to Vicario then?
In your circumstance, would you? Because I think the Burnley game, if you can get 6 from Vicario there, you know, you only need a point from the City game. And
You lost 4-0 Monday night, Gary, and he's still got a 2-pointer.
Yeah, I know, but we're going to lose 4-0. We're going to ship probably 6-7 goals in this game week, aren't we? So even if what's Onana's, you're probably looking at 5, 6s, 7s maybe. So it probably works out about the same, doesn't it? For Vicario, I mean Petrovic might be worth it. Edison, I know no one likes going to Edison, but yeah, it's a tough one defensive this week, isn't it? Because it doesn't look to be an awful lot around for the double game makers.
No, I mean my take on Onana is just like there'll be save points there, and
I
don't know if there's anything worthwhile from a transfer perspective. Personally, I think I'll just stick it out with him. But what if Gary? What if we got some positive news this week and suddenly Martinez and Shaw are available, for example? Like, how much does that change things if that was to happen?
It would change things. It means you don't have to play Johnny Evans and Casemiro at centre-half, and it might make the rest of the team feel a bit more up for it and a bit more secure that they've got some defenders back. But, I mean, Martinez and Shaw haven't played any real football all year, really. So you'd have to question what kind of shape they're in. I mean, I don't think either are on the bench on Monday, were they? So they can't be that close to fitness. So it would be an improvement if they are genuinely fit, but I can't see how close to fitness they are, really.
Yeah. I think we're ruling out investment in Manchester United defenders. If someone did ask you about Johnny Evans, Gary?
No, there must be other players to go and find. Like we've just spoken about three or four Newcastle options there. Brighton, you know, United aren't going to keep clean sheet this weekend, are they? This week. So, you know, what's your expectation with Johnny Evans?
If the decision is that much, you know, of it needs to be a United defender, are you better off looking at a team who's got a single?
Yeah, because none of the United defenders get attacking returns. Historically, none of them have done it. And this season, none of them are really getting any. So you're not getting an attacking return. If you were a bookie, what's your baseline and how many goals United concede in this game week? It's got to be 5-6 probably. So you're not looking at anything. Whereas we've spoken about Arsenal, Everton have got a decent game. There must be other singlers who've probably got a better chance of getting something, and some of the doublers as well, the Newcastles and the Dunks and whoever else.
Yeah,
is
I just mean if people are blocked, they've already got three Newcastle, for example.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. If they're already blocked, then I think you've got to go for go and get an Arsenal or an Everton maybe.
Okay, quick fire for you, Si, on a couple. If you're saying Dan Burn is your best choice, Newcastle defence, I'm going to use that as an example. Would you pick him over Pedro Porro this week?
No. Porro's got the better one fixture.
Would you pick him over Vardy?
No.
Would you pick him over Lewis Dunk?
Yes.
Would you pick him over Cucurella?
Yes.
Okay. So you'd advise me maybe to go share to Burn and pick Burn over Cucurella this week.
Yeah.
It's a really good, it's a really convenient way of asking people what I should do about my team.
Yeah, actually. That's really
good. It's a better way, kids.
These are very specific.
Of course they are. This is my benefit. Lewis Dunk was the red herring in there, by the way. But thank you. That's interesting. Right. To finish up then, who's starting in goal for Newcastle on Saturday, Simon?
Nick Pope.
Okay, confidence in that is?
Pretty confident.
Go on, what do we know? From your £5 patron ITK.
We don't know anything yet. I just think he'll want the game time. Dubs, not his fault, but he didn't keep clean sheet in the last game. I think it's just going to happen. So I think Pope will be back in goal.
See, I could drop Cher down to someone cheap. I could go Anana to Pope.
Yeah, you only use two transfers. You want two transfers for 38. It's not worth it.
No, I'm not.
You might not play.
I'm not going to do that. I'm just playing devil. No. What would you say?
You get rid of Bruno first. That's what I'm doing.
Play to Dubravka Onis then.
Oof. He's from... it's rough. I don't know. They're all shit. They're like everyone. Defenders, apart from Guardiola,
genuine serious question. If you're a Dubravka owner and you're looking to bench boost this week, and you're saying, "Yeah, I'm pretty confident Pope's coming in goal," what should these people do?
Christ, bench boost in 38 and get him out. No, I think I would use transfer on that spot.
So you'd actually advise potentially selling.
You got to wait for the how. I feel like that, like, goalkeeper announcing a goalkeeper's going to start, it's not a tactical thing, really, is it? Probably not. It actually is for us.
Blatantly going to say you'll see tomorrow. Is blatantly. Yeah,
I've just
gonna
I've completely backtracked on that. It is actually massively tactically important for us if Pope plays. So he will not reveal that information. You're just gonna have to like get your best guesswork out with what comes out of the training ground and if Pope's doing like video stuff with him. Say, but I just think I don't even have to. Bradford's gonna be in the summer. I think it's time for him to get out.
Dubravka's been with you how long?
Too long.
Okay, how long? What we're talking here? 6-7 years? Wow.
God, who signed him? Benitez. Was he Pardew? Oh, God knows.
I want to say I feel like he might have even made his debut against Manchester United from some vague memory.
Miggy's been with us 5 years, and he was before Miggy because he came in the January. I think he was like 6 months before that. So I'm going to say 5.5, 6 years he's been with us.
Okay. It's your last home game Saturday. So what, you're going to drop him for his last home game with the club?
Yeah. Yeah, we binned him off to Man United from unknown for when that's, he got the hump. So
that's true, actually. And nice. Therefore, he couldn't even play in a League Cup final.
Eddie Howe comes across as a nice guy, but he is a masochist. He will, if he wants to do it, he'll do it. He believes in a certain core group of players, and Dubs is not in that group. Like he's done all right, but we will concede more with him in. It does impact the way we build out from the back. Pope, if he's fit, should be playing, will be playing. I think Joel Linton will start. And I think Wilson, there probably is something in this injury, so going there for me. I think it makes Isak an even better pick again. And he's my captain. He's going to bang.
Good luck. Gents, thank you. Really good insight. Much appreciated. Let's reluctantly, do some predictions before we finish up. Start with Arsenal Sunday.
3-0 Arsenal.
Simon, Brighton at home.
2-1 Newcastle.
Gary, Newcastle at home.
3-1 Newcastle.
Confident then. Sorry.
3-0 Newcastle.
Wow.
Bruno doesn't play either game and he leaves in the summer, so that's why I'm getting rid of him.
What, Guimaraes, yeah?
Oh, no, you caught me there. Fernandez.
I mean, it's a bit weird you're calling the other guys Bruno, and not your own one, Bruno.
Bruno rat face is not a nice thing to say on air.
Fine. Gary, I'll give you a chance, right? Make you feel better. Go on, you can have a bonus correct score prediction. Women's Cup final Sunday.
Oh, it's been patchy this season. I'll say United will win that 2-1 after extra time.
So the one United that I don't want to win on Sunday will win. For those who don't know, it's United against Tottenham in the Women's Cup final Sunday. Yes, I will be at Wembley. Come and say hello if anyone wants to find me. And then I'll probably be avoiding what Arsenal do to Manchester United. The two correct scores that you said, Gary, for your two games were the two that I had exactly in my mind as well. 3-0 and 3-1. And Si, that's exactly what I had in mind for yours against Brighton as well, which is really interesting. Gents, thank you both so much. Gary, anything you want to plug before we finish?
No, nothing from me. Thank you.
Good stuff. Si?
Sign up to Patreon. And also just a shout out to James. Thank you for getting my season back on track. There was a point when I wasn't sure when I was going to wild card, and you kind of, this path that you put us on has done me well. I've gone from...
I've
gone from near 2 million to like 500k at the moment. So I'm looking into the season, and a lot of it's down to your content. So I appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, cheers. There's one more COTC for you guys. West Ham versus Luton tomorrow ahead of David Moyes' last game in charge of a West Ham team at home. And obviously Dan Ashby's Luton fighting the drop as well. So that's with Chris Stone and Dan Ashby. That'll be available for you tomorrow as well. Just leave me to say, Gary, Si, good luck. Gary, please do sign on Sunday. Cue music, please, man, child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.